Hi, everybody. It's your boy Isaac, and you know what this means. You're listening to the intro to the intro because I've got a couple updates. First, I actually recorded the John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy show and The Thing and The Prince of Darkness and In the Mouth of Madness a few weeks back, and I may allude to the idea that I don't know when the book will be done. That's not true. As you know, I've spoken about this before. Sometimes I get in a writer's block. Sometimes I'm crushing it. And you know what? Your boy's been crushing it. Thank you for all the little Hulkamaniacs out there helping me out. Now, oh, and those dogs. They're so annoying today. Real quick, though. If you didn't catch it, I know you already did, but let's talk about it again. If you want to be in my second Alien book, Use Your Illusion 2, I've got the offer for you. And it's yours to choose. On June 1st, the offer expires at midnight. What you have to do, if you haven't heard the show talking all about this, you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and find the post I made, I don't know, when was it? May 26th, 25th, something like that. You got to be tier 2 on Patreon or the Illuminati Watcher VIP section. And there's like an extra step where I just need you to acknowledge that you want to be in the book by leaving a comment on the assigned post or reply to the email I will send to the VIP section members at tier 2 and above. I'll take care of you. You get on the tier 2 and we're going to make this happen. But like I said before, Patreon's billing cycle, they will bill you on the 1st. So if you wanted to do tier 2 on Patreon, I'd advise you not to do that prior to June 1st. I would advise you to do it on June 1st. So they only bill you the one time. Because if you sign up for Tier 2 on Patreon on May 31st, guess what? The next day on June 1st, they're going to hit you for another 20. And if that happens, if you screw up and that happens, let me know. I'll take care of you. I think I got a way I can refund you one of those charges. Anyway, the details are on the show I released most recently about how to get down on this offer. You can check out the post for it on IlluminatiWatcher.com for more details. Go to Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and you can see the tiers and the special offer. It expires June 1st at midnight because on June 2nd I'm going to log in and get all the names and we're going to make that happen. And again, the same offer applies to IlluminatiWatcher.com, the VIP section. Sign up for that tier 2. And you'll get your name in the back of the book. And it's a special thanks. And if you do, don't forget, there's that extra second step, VIP section. I'm going to send you an email. You got to reply with your name, authorizing me to put it in the book. Patreon, I got a whole post. I'll put the link in the show notes dedicated to where you got to leave your comment. I'll take care of you, though, if you do this, okay? All right, that's your offer. Speak now or forever hold your peace because we're going to publish this book and it's going to be a hot girl summer. Who's ready to talk about John Carpenter? You know him, you love him. We're going to get into his trilogy, the Apocalypse Trilogy. He tried to tell you about the end of the world through a series of films. And of course, I'm referring to The Thing, Kurt Russell. We're also talking about Prince of Darkness. And we will also talk about Mouth of Madness. Three films. Three classic films. My goodness. And the reason I'm digging into these films is because I am going to include them in Use Your Illusion 2. Because obviously it's about aliens. More importantly, it is about the religious elements to it, the spiritual elements, about manifesting reality through fiction. You know, if you've seen Mouth of Madness, you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to talk about it, but I want to do a quick little mini show to sort of whet the appetite for what we'll be discussing.
I suppose my fascination with these kinds of films, apocalyptic films, started when I was growing up in the 1950s. Regardless of what you've heard, the 50s were not some normal, placid time of conformity. They were insane. Everybody was insane in the South. I was just a little kid trying to make sense of it all. The first thing that happened to me was I went to school in an era where they still read the Bible to me. And they started in first grade, and they read the Bible to us every day. And in third grade, they finished. Our teachers finished. And in third grade, I got to hear Revelations. And it's the most confusing thing I'd ever heard in my life. The imagery was sensational. But what the hell was going on? I didn't understand it. And I still don't quite understand it all. But it got me fascinated with the end of things. Because each of these movies you're about to see tonight are about the end of things. I don't just mean a character, but the order of things, the world, life on this world. And Revelation got me pointed in that direction because it was very dark. The images were incredible. And I was mesmerized by it. The second thing about the 50s that pointed me in this direction was the atomic bomb. That was developed in 1945. And this was something my father told me about. And you can see it in movies. There's these giant insects crawling around. They were all created by radiation. And I didn't quite know what that meant. But I found out that we have the capacity to destroy ourselves. We did. Human beings did. Somebody would push a button, and these missiles would rain down on us. And that got me really upset. And I started thinking about apocalypse, the general idea of apocalypse. So I hope you enjoy my films. They're old movies. Thanks for coming to see these three old films. And
because these films are about, it's all about nihilism, okay? First and foremost. So let's briefly get into nihilism, in case you're new to the whole idea of what we're talking about. Because John Carpenter, who of course may be the greatest director of all time, right up there with Kubrick, made infamous for Halloween, right? One of the highest profiting films of all time. From 78, I believe. But the Apocalypse Trilogy is quite curious. It is, all three of these films are about the end of things, the end of everything. It all must go. Everything must go. The world, we know it, ends. And these three films depict it in three different methods, three different ways in which everything comes down. Now, as I will allude to, this is about the Great Reset on some levels. It's also about the annihilation of self, which is where we get into our nihilism discussion. The thing, our first film that we'll discuss is about annihilation, because they die not even knowing thyself, as the occultists have always desired to know thyself. The whole Descartes argument, I think, therefore I am. Don't confuse that with young Billie Eilish's song, Therefore I Am. But that gets violated in these films. You think you know who you are? You think you know your consciousness? Think again, because now you're an alien. So he turns that on its head. Yeah, that's what nihilism's all about. Made famous by philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. In fact, if you read Orthodox thought leader, Father Seraphim Rose, he wrote a book called Nihilism, The Root of the Revolution of the Modern Age, because he knew the deal. He wrote these books back in like the 60s and 70s, and he knew the deal. He knew what was coming down the pike, and I refer to him often because he's a very curious guy, where he asserts that nihilism will be the basic philosophy of the 20th century. He knew about Crowley's Aeon of Horus. He knew the new age in which we would be living. And we've explored this idea with many examples of, like Steve Bannon's Kali Yuga, the final age, final cycle of time. We talked about it with discussions during the Great Conjunction episode of 2020, where we referenced 2012. Because on December 21st, 2020, they A lot of the New Age granola types suggested that we were entering the Age of Aquarius. All these New Age thoughts. And of course, you know, the Age of Aquarius going back to the 60s. But anyways, this idea that we were entering a New Age has been around for a long time. Father Seraphim Rose asserts that nihilism is going to be the philosophy that governs the age. What is nihilism? Let's dig a little bit deeper. It's the belief that there is no absolute truth. What is absolute truth? He's referring to God. He's referring to the belief in a higher power. A belief in God. Now, if you dig into Father Rose's writings, he seemed to be, and I'm no expert on the man, but from what I have read, he is of the camp that if you are not an Orthodox Christian, you cannot get to heaven. That's like, he takes that extreme viewpoint. Now, and he was arguing that if Orthodoxy allows other, if we entertain the idea that other Christian denominations could also go to heaven, that ultimately that would dilute the truth of the true religion of Orthodoxy. And that's ecumenicism, and ultimately that's the religion of the Antichrist, he suggests. And I don't know if he's wrong. I haven't died and gone to heaven yet. I've reserved my spot. I'll probably get it revoked for talking about all these conspiracy things. But yeah, that's kind of where his stance seems to go. But so he just says the absolute truth, a higher power, God, for him specifically, is probably Orthodoxy. But he says in nihilism, there is no thing. That's what it's all about. There's no thing, nothing. And if you look at the heart of the philosophy, it is expressed in, oh, it was expressed by Friedrich Nietzsche and the phrase, God is dead, therefore man becomes God and everything is possible. And you've heard this idea over and over and over again. Your boy Elon Musk, when he's not pumping out kids with the names Damien and Archangel X12 with the sexy nerd girls. He's ushering the age of transhumanism. In fact, I believe he just tweeted something to the effect of being busy with life extension and consciousness extension. You know, through the Neuralink cap and all that stuff, which is an idea that we actually get into in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, User Illusion 1, when we explore the ideas of Project Bluebeam, that through technology, they will be able to interface with man to have God himself whisper in our ear. And then part of that system also, by the way, all the gods of every religion all around the world will come down and say, look, man, we're all the same. We're just different forms of the same consciousness. Further making Father Seraphim Rose turn over in his grave. Because he was like, I warned you guys this was going to happen. He warned us. But Nietzsche said that God is dead because that sums up the whole idea of this shift. The shift from believing in God. And some would argue that this is where we're at because you have this dogma of science. People think that science is the end-all be-all. I've talked about this many times. I think science is a pretty good tool. I'm pro-science, yes. But it doesn't explain everything. Even your boy Oppenheimer said that right before he died. Something to the effect of how it's a beautiful thing, but it doesn't answer everything. Because it doesn't. It doesn't incorporate spirituality or consciousness. Because all it's doing is trying to use the scientific method to make observations while removing the subjective observer to find an ultimate truth, which is good for some things. You know, you want to know if your binary digit will switch from a 0 to a 1 when you apply 0.7 volts across the collector emitter function? Perfect. Use science for that, there, nerds. But you want to tell me how to live? How to be a good person? Stay out of my business. Because that's where I draw the line. These science nerds, they want to pretend science is the new religion. And and we're not going to get into deep discussion on that. Let's stick with the argument at hand. The argument is that John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy is all about nihilism. It's about the end of things. It's the abolition of self. And I talked about, if you've ever seen the film Annihilation with Natalie Portman, a fantastic film, top 10 film of all time, one of my favorites. In fact, I didn't even want to watch the movie. When I saw the trailer, I was like, this looks stupid. What is this? This science propaganda. It's going to be some climate change environment thing, which I'm okay with, right? I'm a climate change guy. I believe that there's some man-made climate changes, some things we can do about it. How far do we want to take that? I don't know. That requires a smarter person than I. But that's what I thought the film was about. And you know, I was like, whatever. I don't need that in my life. But then my man Jimmy the Jackhammer said, you got to watch this movie. And boy, was I glad I did. I watched it twice in a row. Fantastic movie. Anyway, I'm talking about this for too long. Annihilation is the annihilation of self. And that's ultimately what's depicted in Annihilation as well. Then we talk about relative truth as opposed to absolute truth. Because Seraphim Rose was like, the new age will be the end of absolute truth. It'll be the ushering in of the relative truth. That's represented by science, the dogma of science. Logic, observation, progressing in an orderly fashion from the known to the unknown. Try to explain everything through science. Because scientific theories are always relative to something else, and they build on other scientific theories, on other supposed truths. Hence, the idea of relative truth, relative to some other scientific method, proven idea, fact, law. Whatever. And the issue is actually at odds with religion in the belief of a God, right? Because in absolute truth, God is the truth behind all things. Why do we have waterfalls? Because God made it so. Why do we have birds singing beautiful songs? Because God made those birds. But science is like, well, no, see, due to relative truth, this bird evolved to sing because this bird's trying to get it in with some other birds, and they're only doing that to try to propagate the species because they evolved from frogs, which evolved from the slime pits, which evolved from the bacteria that landed here through panspermia 6 bazillion years ago and all that stuff, right? I mean, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I don't care. I think both have their place in all of our lives. I wouldn't advocate to be all one or all the other, which is a very lukewarm answer, I know, but like that's the truth of the matter. Because some people are like way too nuts with science, and some people are way too nuts with religion. So, yeah, Father Rose was warning about this. Nihilism and science will be the new absolute truth, proving everything through a scientific explanation, through the five senses, through the relative truth. But the problem here, and this will be more appropriate to the Prince of Darkness film when we talk about science and religion, because that's what that one's all about. The problem here is that science is also faith. Yes, it is. The core beliefs of science are based in faith. For example, so you don't think I'm just trying to be a dick. Science has faith that the laws that we come up with, you know, the laws of thermodynamics, Newton's, I got to go back into my science books. I took a lot of science in college, okay? I should know this stuff. Kepler's laws of motion, I think. Newton's laws of, what are they called? I don't know, it doesn't matter. They all come up with a bunch of laws, and laws are supposed to be universal. And they declare it as such. That's why the evolution is only a theory. It has not evolved into a law. A law means it holds everywhere, in every universe, in every form and fashion. But the truth is, you take that as faith. You take that as faith because you don't know that. You haven't gone into another dimension, another universe, to confirm these things. It's all built on faith. Now, it's pretty accurate, right? Like, we use them for what they're worth here on Earth, and they work pretty good.
But that's the point, is that there's, and look at Newtonian mechanics. They were like, this is it. This is the laws of motion. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I think Kepler was laws of planetary motion. It doesn't matter. We're not going to slow down to take a look at it. You can dig in for yourself if you're interested. But anyway, laws of motion and all the things that he was pushing, like, they made a lot of sense for hundreds of years. And then here comes Einstein getting down into the quantum world and finds that the things aren't what they seem. In fact, things react and interreact on a different level when you get down into the molecular level, which again, you hear about in Prince of Darkness, which we will discuss. But the point is that even science and scientific laws have some level of faith, because we don't know what's going on other planets, in other universes, and all of that. Hence, the core tenet of faith is in existence with science. Every man lives by faith. Every single one. Even the atheist that believes science is God. So you either have your faith in science or God. In fact, Jesus told Pilate, was it Pontius Pilate? That ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because eternal life and freedom cannot be attained in this world through human means. And that's kind of my approach of living in this crazy, chaotic world. I don't get too upset about some of these dark forces and things that happen. I mean, I do, but ultimately I have to resign to knowing, like, look, none of us are making it out of this thing alive. You just try to be the best person you can, and hopefully when you get to the other side, all this stuff's true. We're not just worm food. But science, they want you to believe in worm food. They think there's no other world because you can't prove it. And all pursuits that they do are to improve our existence here on Earth. The extension of life. They're trying to, repair the Earth, as we should, I think. Worse, they try to make plans to leave Earth. They're like, oh, no, we're moving to Mars. But there's like transhumanism elements in there. It's because they ultimately don't want to die, because they subscribe to the idea that we turn into worm food. And they don't want to die. And some people take that a step further and say they made the Faustian bargain. They sold their soul to the devil and they don't want to pay up. Now, one step in nihilism is a thing called liberalism, not to be confused with political liberalism. But the liberalism is a component of removing religion, so nihilism can grow. And this is where you see a lot of these ideas of you hear a lot of the Christian types that are more right wing conservative folks. This is their concern, right? It's not like an official platform of the Democratic Party. That's what I was trying to say when I say this isn't the political liberal. It's a little off, a little different than that, but not terribly far. But it has liberalism is this idea of progressiveness and moving mankind forward and removing religion. And he believed that nihilism can grow in this environment. And that is why in Carpenter's Prince of Darkness, in the Mouth of Madness, you have these religious elements. You literally see the religions disintegrate in this new age. Nihilism influenced Hitler. It also influenced the Bolshevik Revolution. Father Rose says that liberalism gets out of hand when it goes from, and this is kind of more along the political spectrum, this part. He says it gets out of hand when it goes from sympathizing for unfortunate persons to receiving ideas of how to live from the unfortunate persons. Now, he didn't get into it deep enough for me to understand what exactly he meant, so all I can do is interpret that. I mean, I would argue he's saying, look, you see homeless people that are addicted to drugs. You should sympathize. As a Christian, you should care about your brother and your sister. try to take care of them, try to help them out in whatever way you deem, you know, appropriate. But he's saying, I guess you would stop short of allowing that person, or maybe, okay, so like an example would be maybe Oregon, where they decriminalize all the drugs. Would he argue that, well, that's because, you know, the homeless people addicted to drugs were their ideas were being received, and their ideas were like, look, just decriminalize it so I could do my drugs. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's what he meant or not. That's all I can think of, though. And look, I'm actually okay with decriminalizing drugs because the war on drugs is bullshit, okay? I don't advocate, I'm not pro-drug use. I don't think anyone should use drugs. But like, why kick a person while they're down? But, you know, there's arguments against it that are valid. You don't want kids being able to pick up heroin at the gas station or whatever. But we're not saying legalize them. We're saying decriminalize them. You got people that are addicted to drugs. They're going to get the drugs. And if they get caught with them, like, try to help them out. Don't throw them in a privatized prison system. Anyway, we're getting off the rails quickly here. This was going to be a short little teaser show, so I could give you time to watch these movies. We're talking about having homeless prison time. Now, nihilism. Let's get back on track with nihilism. It's all about destroying the world as we know it. And like I alluded to earlier, this has echoes of your boy Steve Bannon. You know Steve Bannon. We talked about him many times with the Q talk. He subscribed to this occult traditionalism, the idea that they need to usher in the new age. But first, they have to destroy the current one through chaos, which, you know, it's kind of happening. It's an alchemical ritual we are all taking part of. The alchemical process of dissolving first, then coagulating. And I say, don't let that happen. Don't let them destroy everything. Don't let them burn everything to the ground, because I assure you, the new system they want to replace it with will not be good. It's the golden age, as Steve Bannon asserts. His golden age. The elite's golden age. This is the same as, I would argue, the Great Reset. The top 1,000 corporations in the world are part of the Great Reset. And they're like, look, we're so rich, we need to come up with a plan on how to take the rest of your money, and we will distribute it appropriately. Because if there's one thing that we're good with, it's, you know, being fair and equitable with our money. So you can trust us, right? Makes no sense. Here's a good quote from Nietzsche's The Will to Power. Quote, nihilism is, ... meaning I removed a bunch of stuff. Nihilism is not only the belief that everything deserves to perish, but one actually puts one's shoulder to the plow, one destroys. So does that make sense? Does that make sense? All this chaos unfolding everywhere around the globe, particularly in one country, specifically in one city. Oh, dear. Father Rose, he says that liberalism is an issue because it's too vague to make the real progress desired, so we'll just end up on the next step, which is realism. And people will eventually not believe in anything. There will be no authority, there will be no faith, there will be no judges to believe in, no politicians to believe in. The only thing they can believe in is science. Which is why I keep trying to say, don't let it happen. Don't buy into this whole, oh, we need to burn everything to the ground, and all of our systems have failed us, and all the institutions have failed us. We need anarchy. So Robert Anton Wilson was writing about in the Illuminatus trilogy when he said, we tried capitalism, we tried communism, we tried fascism. The only thing we haven't tried is anarchy. Anarchy clears the slate. But I assure you, they are waiting and wanting you to do this so they can repopulate the slate with a system that suits them even better. And that's arguably what I believe Father Rose is saying. He's saying that the only thing left to believe in will be science. The people will think everything is so clear, so perfectly clear. Atheism has got to be the answer. There's no belief in God. There's no absolute truth, because all these higher values are completely unnecessary. So what we will replace everything with is materialism, self-interest. You know, that's what, like, a bit of that Crowley "do what thou wilt" stuff comes into play with the Aeon of Horus. And that's what realists do. They worship facts. They worship efficiency, science, progress, eugenics. Yes, that's where your boy Hitler comes in. Not your boy, I'm sorry. I keep saying your boy. That's where Hitler comes in, with eugenics. I always say your boy. I don't know why. I just do it. I don't mean your boy. I'm very sorry. Yeah, eugenics is part of this realist system. So he's saying that nihilism is the foundation for this progression of mankind. And I don't know if he was terribly wrong so far with the way things are unfolding. Now, the final phase, because we got to get to wrapping it up. And then we're gonna briefly hit on why we're talking about all this, because we're here to talk about John Carpenter. The final phase is vitalism. This is the quest for enlightenment, because he knows, because he's a smart man. He was a smart man. Now he's in heaven looking down upon us. Maybe he's smiting me. Maybe he's like, you idiot. That's not what I'm saying. Or maybe he's like, you know what? God, put in a good word for this guy. Give him the fast track pass. Now, vitalism is the quest for enlightenment, because man, he knew that man is a spiritual being, and I've been talking about this for many years too. Man will ultimately have to believe in a higher power, because man believes is a spiritual being, right? Nihilism will destroy the belief in God, the absolute truth, temporarily replace it with a deity of science, an atheism. But man cannot be satisfied like that, because man intuitively knows there's something else going on. So eventually it'll give way to the occult enlightenment or spirituality, which is yet to be determined. But he asserts that man will be at the center of it. And isn't that what all of these occultists have been wanting for so long? Man to become the new God. That's what you're seeing these rich folks like Elon Musk pursuing. Bill Gates, all these people trying to manipulate the DNA, trying to find a way to perfect mankind. Man is to be God. Even Hitler said this. He said there was a supreme force of God within man. Nihilism is all about destruction, which ultimately paves the path to vitalism and man becoming God. Isn't that ironic? God is dead. Next thing you know, God's alive, but it's man. So nihilism will bring about the destruction through war, through chaos. You know what I'm saying? With chaos. Divisiveness. Is this all not true? Redefining history. Nietzsche said, who wishes to be creative must first destroy and smash accepted values. And this is what I argue they're trying to do to us. Nihilism is all about satanic principles. And I'm not talking about worshiping the devil with the horns. When you get into satanic doctrines, it's all about being rebellious against the social norms, which I'm actually supporting of. I think cultural norms are bullshit. I think that living up to a stereotype of what a stereotypical, you know, man or woman, or, you know, real man, real woman, is a bunch of bullshit, right? Those are all tools they use to manipulate us through Edward Bernaysian propaganda. And nihilism is all about free will and independence, and that's exactly what Satanism is all about. Because Satanism, ironically, I know a lot of people get confused by this, it's not about worshiping the devil, it's about worshiping the archetype of the devil and pursuing the ideas espoused by Satanism of mankind becoming God and serving his own will. And this, of course, my friends, is what the Great Reset is all about. It's chaos, division, destruction, nihilism, to bring in science as the new god. And that's why in my alien books, I talk about, you got to look down the road 5, 10, 20 years, where they'll bring about the alien religion. Man will become God because man will be able to communicate with our original gods out in outer space or whatever. So to bring it back to Carpenter, the first film that we'll talk about is The Thing. Talking about the 80s one. It was 82, I think. Kurt Russell. Not the prequel. Not the 2011 prequel. Not the 1952 Howard Hawks version. Talking about the 1982 Kurt Russell version. It's kind of showing you COVID, okay? It's a virus spreading amongst this camp of scientists. And guess what happens? Trust breaks down entirely, which is kind of where we live today. Divisiveness, chaos, distrust. Who do you believe? We just don't know. It's a breakdown of all the institutions that you thought you could trust and believe in. And that's what Santa Claus wants. He wants you to shut it all down. He's like, you know what? Me and my 1,000 richest corporations in the world, we're right here waiting for you with open arms. You don't need to believe in all these government institutions. You don't need to believe in religion. Come to us. We'll help you out. So these films, the cast of the films, you'll notice, to hit one more cherry on top of the nihilism argument here for Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy, the cast of the films, you'll notice, have no heroes. Oh, and by the way, we're going to be doing some plot spoilages on these shows, so you've been forewarned. But in these shows, you'll notice the characters, there's zero connection. There's no compassion for any of these actors and actresses in the movies. I mean, these movies barely have, just a touch more character development than you would find in your Italian horror flicks from Lucio Fulci or Dario Argento, where humans are basically fodder for satanic murdering killers and bugs. But at least Carpenter, he at least gives them some kind of character, but not much. And you don't really like them to begin with. You don't care. You're like, yeah, kill them. Do it. Do it now. Almost everyone in these films is an anti-hero because they're all kind of buttholes, okay? Their purpose is not, and they're not there for you to like them. The purpose for them to be there is to witness and observe this apocalyptic event in each of the films, which is arguably like truthers, right? We don't like all those truthers. But they're here to report the apocalypse and the end times, and they're not really saving anyone. They're not really doing anything besides talking about it. They're just reporting on the end times. So sleep tight with that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But the reason for these blank canvases are they are inspired, I would argue, by H.P. Lovecraft. He had a disdain for humanity as well. He subscribed to cosmism, it's hard to say that. Meaning like, well, there's life out there and I'm sure it's superior to humanity. It's got to be. And we'll talk about that with In the Mouth of Madness. Where, in fact, I got a note here. Michael Blythe, he wrote a book, an analysis of the film In the Mouth of Madness, which is great. I would recommend it if you want to go deep, deep, deep into the film. And he references a letter that H.P. Lovecraft wrote to the editor of Weird Tales, which is a pulp magazine. Pulp magazines, as you read in Use Your Illusion 1, was started by a founder of the Ordo Templi Orientis, the pulp paper manufacturing process, was started by a ritual magician. Yes, because they understand these things. Anyways, the letter H.P. Lovecraft wrote to the editor Farnsworth Wright, he said, quote, "All my tales are based on the fundamental premise that common human laws and interests and emotions have no validity or significance in the vast cosmos at large. And that's the attitude of nihilism. It's a real bleak outlook on life. Some of the 80s Metallica songs, you know, Kill 'Em All, and what was the one about the nuclear, was it Jumping the Fire or something? It's all about, like, just death and destruction. And they've been priming the pump on this for a long time. But ultimately, that's what these three films are going to be about. We're going to break each one down. Join along. We're going to start with The Thing, then Prince of Darkness, then Mouth of Madness, In the Mouth of Madness. That last one might go into a Patreon / Rockfin exclusive only. I owe those guys extra shows, so they'll probably get In the Mouth of Madness, just to be up front with you. But these films, let me give you the brief version. I'll give you the real simple version if you don't want to watch them. The Thing. It's all about nerds are going to kill us. The second film, Prince of Darkness. It's all about nerds and Satan are going to kill us. The third film, In the Mouth of Madness. Aliens are going to kill us. So there you go. Now you're ready. And I'm gonna get to it. I got a couple little pointers to get. I'm gonna try to get some photos from these films, some clips from the films, and we're gonna make this a real good time. And then as I alluded to, these films will be in Use Your Illusion 2. I'm gonna talk about them. It'll be you'll hear most of what's gonna be in the book if you listen to the show. If you subscribe, you won't even need to buy the book. I'll break it all down for you for free in 2021 because I love you. All right, my friends, keep a sane head on your shoulders. Don't let them burn this world down. Don't let them think that every institution failed you, because that's what they want. Okay, I'm not saying let's have blind trust for all these institutions. I'm saying they're flawed, but as so is mankind. But don't let them burn the whole thing to the ground. Don't fall into that, because that's what they want. Because they're ready. They're ready to replace it. They're ready to, kind of like the Apollonian Dionysian ritualistic ideas. You dilute the consciousness enough that they can consume it. That's what they want. All right, my friends, you know what to do. Till next time, stay woke.